beginning with the first verse. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. He would not for a while, but after he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith in the earth? Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would teach us from the parables today how to pray and not lose heart, how to be persistent in our prayer life, how to have faith that when we pray, that you hear us when we pray and that you answer us when we pray. Father, I pray that there would be a tenacity within us to not lose heart, but to believe you. And so, Father, right now we speak against every kind of lying voice, every kind of distraction that would cause people to doubt today. And so, Lord, we say in our hearts and our minds right now that we believe. And Lord, we commit ourselves right now as you bring revelation to us. We commit ourselves to being a doer of the word of God and not hearers only today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the story that Jesus tells, this parable with a purpose, this story with a purpose. He tells about in a certain city there was a judge, and he really was not a righteous judge. And so there's this direct correlation then that if this is how an unjust judge will respond, then how much more will our just judge, God, respond to us? And so he's using this kind of absurd analogy, even the fact that the judge says to himself, I don't even regard God and I don't even fear men. You know, nobody says that. And he's just making the point, right? This guy just, but this woman has this certain grievance that she's going to come before the judge, and she's just not going to wait, and she's just not going to take no for an answer. She just keeps coming over and over and over again. It's sort of like a certain phone call I've been making every day until I get some action, because there's a righteous solution that I need. And so I make the phone call. I have three different phone numbers for the same, entity. And I just call that over and over and over again. I never receive an answer and I never get a call back. But they're going to hear from me every single day until we get action. Come on, somebody. I mean, we need action. I mean, you just can't take no for an answer. I mean, some of us need to kind of rise up this morning and understand that if God be for us, who can be against us? We need to understand here's a fallacy that I believe. I guess you can believe what you want. But I don't believe that God leads us and directs us by opened or closed doors. Because if that's so, then most of the time that God has ever asked me to do something in my life, when I got there, the door was shut. But it didn't have anything to do with the will of God, because God told me to go through to the other side. Are you listening to me? And so most of the things that we had to do, we had to pray for God to open the door. We had to kick the door down. We had to get people out of the way. I'm just telling you, when you know that you've heard from God, you don't take no for an answer, and you don't let something like a little thing like a closed door stop you. You see, this woman was getting a closed door, was she not? She went. She wasn't getting any satisfaction. But did that stop her? It didn't stop her. So here's the thing. Excuse me. Why do people give up? Why do they stop asking in prayer? Well, number one, I think they don't believe that their cause is really righteous. They're really kind of unsure. All right. Or number two, they don't believe themselves to be righteous. In other words, maybe I have a right cause, but maybe there's something wrong with me. And maybe because I'm not right, then God can't hear or answer my prayer. Or they don't really even believe that it is God's will. Because here's the thing, 1 John 5:14-15, and it's not in the notes, but it says this. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that we have in God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. So in other words, when you know that your cause is righteous, you know that you're right with God and you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That voice of condemnation that keeps telling you because you sinned this week or you didn't do what you were supposed to do or you thought a bad thought that you are not right with God now, that is a lie. That's not true. We are right with God because of what Jesus has done for us. There's none righteous, not even one person right with God. Therefore, we need Jesus to make us righteous. We're not righteous in our own actions or our inactions. Are you listening to me? So there's some lying voices that we hear. So in other words, if we pray and we know that we're right with God and we know that what we're praying about is within God's will for us or even His very specific will for us, it causes us to have confidence. And when you're confident, then you're also bold. You know, come on, this isn't like, you know, when you're an early teen and you wonder if the girl likes you or not. And so you're kind of timid to go ask her, maybe, you know, would she go out with you? And of course, she says, well, where are we going to go? We're 12. Come on. Yeah, I mean, you know, right. But you're like, I don't know if I could ask myself. Maybe I'll get my friend to ask her. Right. Because you're not confident. You're not bold. But when you are bold, when you are confident, when you do know she is going to say yes, then you just walk up and say, will you go out with me? It's the same way with God in prayer. Some of our prayer life is way too timid. It's way too unsure. Not every prayer should be attached with if it be thy will. Sometimes we need to find out what the will of God is before we pray, and then we can approach the throne of God with boldness like this woman did, this judge. She believed her cause to be righteous. She believed that she was righteous, and she wasn't even going to wait to know what His will was. She was just going to keep coming. Are you listening to me? There's some lying voices that we must learn how to resist. Some of our friends and family are our worst enemy to our prayer life. Because they keep planting seeds of doubt and unbelief in us. It's just the fact. And so sometimes you have to be a little careful of who you're sharing your prayer life with. It's one of the reasons we don't just have this blanket open prayer chain. Okay? Because a lot of times prayer chains just turn into gossip chains. I need somebody to be in agreement in faith with me. Amen. So if you have a prayer need, let us know and we'll get it out to the right people that I know are going to believe God with you and trust God with you. Amen. Because sometimes those friends and family are our worst enemy when it comes to our faith or religious know-it-alls. Well, I just don't know if God could hear and answer your prayer because X, Y, or Z. And it doesn't line up with their theology or their doctrine. And, you know, are you listening to me? Religious know-it-alls sometimes will talk you out of believing God because you aren't qualified. Here's the worst one. Time will lie to you. Time will say, if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. You know what? You're praying and believing God for something. And days go by, and weeks go by, and months go by. And sometimes, depends on what it is, years go by. And, you know, time will say, you know, whatever you were praying and believing God for, you know it's not God's will because if it was supposed to happen, it would have happened by now. But not everything happens today. Not everything happens tomorrow. Not everything happens next week or next month or next year. There's some things that God puts in us that causes us to have faith and keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. Some of the things that God put into Michelle and I in our early 20s, we've yet to see accomplished, but it will happen. Are you listening to me? It will come to pass. When you believe that you are righteous, when you believe that your cause is righteous and that God wills it, you just keep coming. You just keep asking. You just keep seeking. You just keep knocking. There is a faith element to all answered prayer. There is God's side, but there's also our side of the equation. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's a faith element. There's a believing element. When Jesus was teaching the disciples about faith, Jesus cursed a fig tree in Mark chapter 11. And then in verse 22, after they said, they were just perplexed. They said, what in the world did you just do? You spoke to this tree and it died. It withered up from the roots. And Jesus said, Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. Verse 23, he says, verily I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says shall come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Now, verse 24 teaches us how to pray in faith. So whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. In other words, there's a believing element. There's a faith element to answered prayer. We believe before we have it. You know, the trouble is, with some of us around here, we live up to the state motto. You know, you have to prove it to us. You have to show me. We're not going to fall for anything. We're not going to believe it till we see it. But that's the exact opposite of faith. You believe, you understand, we live in the state that has the most doubt and unbelief. And so we got some things to overcome, right? We believe before we have it. We believe that we receive it and then we have it. There's a faith element to answered prayer. Yet God and answered prayer cannot really be reduced to formulas. God and his ways are mysterious to us. But yet we boldly proclaim and trust that God hears and answers our prayers. Let me say something to you. Bold prayers honor God. And God honors bold prayers. I think it's offensive to God to never ask for something that's way beyond our own ability. God is offended by anything less. If your prayers are not impossible sometimes for you, then they are insulting to God. In other words, if I only pray about things that I know can happen, then I didn't really even need God to do it. Prayers are like prophecies. They are the best indicator of your spiritual future. Who you become is determined by how you pray. Mark Batterson wrote this. He said, ultimately, the transcript of your prayers becomes the script of your life. The greatest tragedy in life is the prayers that go unanswered because they go unasked. Let's be honest. Some of you kind of gave up on praying because something you prayed about didn't happen. And you got disappointed. And you said, kind of, what's the use? And I don't know if I can really keep doing this. I can't allow my heart to be broken again. That's sort of what the Lord's showing me while I'm preaching. But guys, let's put our faith back in God today. Let's become bold in our faith again today. Most of us don't get what we want in prayer because we quit praying. We give up too easily. We give up too soon. We quit praying before we receive our answer. Batterson went on to say, too often we pray ASAP prayers, as soon as possible prayers. But we need to start praying ALAT prayers, prayers as long as it takes prayers. Not just as fast as we can get there prayers, but pray and don't give up. What was the one distinguishing feature that Jesus is trying to point out about this widow woman? What was the point? What's the whole point of the parable? She would not give up until she got her answer. Now that's Jesus teaching us how to pray. What is Jesus saying to us? Do not give up in your prayers until you get the answer that you need. That was a wonderful place for an amen that you just missed. I said, Jesus taught through this woman that in prayer that you should not quit praying until you receive what you're asking. Okay. I'm just telling you, I'm not above begging, all right? In Ephesians 6, 13 and 14, we see, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth and so forth. But I want you to know, it says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Have you ever just done everything that you know to do? I mean, you've done everything in the natural realm that you can do. You've done everything in prayer that you know to do. And what is the instruction from the Word of God then? Keep standing. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Be like this widow woman. Do not stop. Do not quit. Do not give up. You know, I never lost an athletic event in my entire life. The clock just ran out on me, you know, or I just ran. I mean, I was still willing. I was still willing to go. I mean, somebody else with their arbitrary rules, you know, took me out of the game. But I would have played until I won or I was dead, one or the other. That's just the way it was back when I was athletic. Now I quit real easily, you know. Went for a bike ride the other day. My front tire just suddenly went flat, and next thing I know, I was on the ground and hurting really bad, and I just picked up my bike and walked it back to my truck, and I went home. That's how big of a pansy I am these days. But I'm talking about back when I was something, you know, in my mind. All right. How long must we stand? Until. How long do you stand? As long as it takes, you stand until. Now, I'm reading a book right now, and I would highly recommend it. And I'm about halfway through. It's by Bob Goff. It's called Love Does. Some of you have probably read it. It's a fabulous book. Love Does. In chapter 6, the chapter title is called Go Buy Your Books. Now, Bob Goff wasn't the best student. His parents were both educators. But they were kind of veering him towards vocational school. You understand what I'm talking about? They were both educators. They were steering their son towards vocational school because, you know, not everybody is academically smart. I believe everybody's smart. I just don't believe everybody's book smart. And Bob wasn't necessarily book smart. I think basically he probably had ADD and he just didn't care that much. He probably was. So he somehow got his way through college and then he applied to law school. And somebody said, well, you got to pass a test to get into law school. It's called the LSAT. He's like, oh, what's that? So he read up over the weekend about the LSAT and then went and took the test. Now he's sitting in this like 8-hour test or whatever it takes to take the LSAT. And people are going around, now what course did you go through to prepare? I mean, people had spent like months of their life to prepare for this test. He read something over the weekend. Are you listening to me? How many of you know he didn't score real high on the LSAT? All right. And so he applied to all these law schools. And he didn't get, I mean, he got all these reject letters from all these law schools. What, this one certain law school, he didn't get an acceptance letter and he didn't get a reject letter. So he just went to meet with the dean of the school and said, hey, I didn't hear from you guys. So I'm just assuming that, you know, school starting in a couple of weeks. So I assume, you know, I'm supposed to come. And the guy goes, no, I don't see you on the list. He said, all you have to say to me is go buy your books and I'll be here. The guy said, nice meeting you, Bob. Have a great life. But Bob showed up at this guy's office every single day. He'd say, and he learned his routine. He learned when his coffee break was. He learned when he was going to lunch. He knew every, I mean, he was stalking the guy, okay? I mean, seriously, he was seriously stalking this, you know, law school dean. And every day he'd say, sir, you know, has anything moved upon your heart to let me into school? Because all you have to say is go buy your books and I'll go buy my books and I'll be in the front row, you know, first day of class. Well, day after day after day after day went by, and Bob every day sat out by this tree just waiting to talk to the dean of the school every day. He didn't have anything else to do. See, Bob wanted to change the world. He wanted to do something good in the world, and somehow he thought being a lawyer was the way to do that. Now, think how unbelievably different his brain was thinking, okay, than you and me. But he thought the best way I can make a difference in the world is to be a lawyer. And so law school started, classes began, but Bob didn't give up. He said, sir, all you have to do is say, buy your books. I'm only a day behind. I can catch up. You just say to me, go buy your books. I'll go buy your books. And you know the end of the story by now, right? So about the third day of classes beginning, Bob's still there. Bob's not giving up. And I guess the guy just decided, you know what? We'll take his money. You know, it's going to be on him. He'll either fail or he'll pass. Come on. If we let him in and he fails, that's on him. I mean, this crazy kid is not going to give up. And so I'm just going to let him into school. And if he passes, then we'll be glad that he's here, right? And so he did. He got into law school by sitting there every single day and just saying to this dean, go buy your books. If you just say to me, go buy your books, I'm going to go buy my books and I'm going to become a lawyer. All right. Well, at the end of law school, Bob, as he tells the rest of this in the story, he's sitting there in class. And then the professor says, now, everybody look around. I mean, we're coming to the end of law school. Now, every third person, one, two, three, every third person is going to flunk the bar exam first time. Bob looks around. He said, every way I could count, I was number three. But he did pass the bar exam, and he's actually a pretty world-famous lawyer today. But the point is Bob believed in his cause. Bob believed in Bob. And Bob believed that if he became a lawyer, he would make the world a better place. And that's exactly what he's done, and I highly recommend the book. Let's wrap this up this morning, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Jesus tells another parable that's almost exactly the same as the one we read in Luke 18. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on this journey and I have nothing to set before him. Now, this isn't as absurd of an illustration as you think it might be. Here's what happened. A certain man had guests arrive at his house well after dark, real late, way after supper time, and there was no food left in the house. Now, in this culture, in Middle Eastern culture, man, if someone shows up at your house, you're obligated, really, to feed them. You're obligated to take care of them. You're obligated to welcome them and take care of their needs. And this guy has no food left in the house. So he goes next door and he pounds on the door and wakes up his neighbor and said, hey, I've got guests and I don't have any bread. Do you have bread? Do you have three loaves that I can have? And the guy's like, you're waking my kids up here. What is wrong with you? I mean, you're knocking on the door. Get out of here. Right? The friend of mine has come. Verse 7, and he will answer from within saying, do not trouble me. The door is shut. My children are now in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give it to him because he's a friend, yet because of his persistence, everybody say persistence, because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. In other words, Jesus, again, is teaching us about the subject of prayer. And what is this key element? What is this key variable that Jesus keeps emphasizing about our prayer life? Persistence. Don't give up. Don't quit. You just keep going after it. You just keep praying. You just keep believing that you're going to receive. So in other words, he didn't give him what he wanted because he was friendly. He gave him what he wanted because he wasn't going to leave. And so he might as well just go ahead and give it to him and get him out of there. Are you listening to me? There's a lot of reasons. Come on. Our brain will tell us that God is not going to hear and answer our prayer. And we believe those lies more than we believe the truth. We believe that we're not righteous. In other words, he didn't give it to him because he was a friend. The unrighteous judge did not, you know, give her a favorable ruling because he was righteous. Are you listening? There's one element that Jesus keeps emphasizing to us in our prayer life is persistence. Don't give up. Don't quit. It demonstrates faith in God when you are persistent. Now, again, verse 9, and for sure we're going to wrap this up right here. So I say to you, so here's the conclusion. I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Ask, seek, and knock are present imperative verbs. That won't be on the test. Aren't you glad? All right. I didn't know they were present imperative verbs until I read up on it also. And I never remember their present imperative verbs. So here's the story. Here's what a present imperative verb is. It means this. They are not something done once, but repeated over and over again. So in other words, when Jesus said ask, he's not saying that's a one-time ask. He's saying ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. It's a present imperative verb. There's an understanding here. You keep asking until you get the answer. You keep seeking until you find. You keep knocking until the door is open. In other words, God doesn't lead us by opened or closed doors. Sometimes we keep knocking on that door until it opens because we know our cause is righteous. We know that we're right before God, and we know that this is God's will for us. Can you say amen? Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We are the sons and daughters of God. Amen. Now, we have a little apartment here in town that we spend most of our week here. I spend most of my week here. But sometimes Morgan comes over. All right. because he's doing things with young people and he's here when I'm not here. Now, there's some things that I find out about Morgan, and you know, he was up here earlier. I come back and I find that I thought I had a bag of chips. There was a bag of chips when I left, but when I get back, the bag of chips is gone. What happened? You know what happened. Morgan ate my bag of chips and fed it to a bunch of teenagers. All right? There's a point to this story. See, when you know that you're a son or daughter of God, and you know that you have right standing with God, it causes you to have boldness in the presence of God. Not to be timid, not to shy away. You just believe that what the Father has belongs to you also. And that's what Jesus is teaching us here. What the Father has belongs to us also. We don't have to be timid about it. We can be, you know, Morgan doesn't call me up and go, "Hey, Dad, you know, there's this like bag of like, you know, tortilla chips. You think it might be okay if I just, I don't know. You probably don't want to, but you know, would it be okay maybe if I could just eat those and share with those with the teenagers that show up tonight?" I mean, you know, you can say no if you want to, but man, he doesn't do that. He's our son. He assumes that whatever's in the cabinet belongs to him also. Are you listening to me? And yet we're so timid and we're so bashful and we're so afraid that God's going to say no to us. And Jesus repeatedly says that we should be bold and that we should come into the presence of God like we belong there, because we do belong there. And be persistent in our praying. Ask, seek, and knock. I don't know what you have need of from God today, but how many of you have something that you have need of from God right now? You know what it is. Let me see your hand. You know what it is right now. You have this persistent need in your life. Well, why don't you just form that into a prayer right now? And just ask God to hear and answer your prayer, if you would, right now. Just bow your head and close your eyes, please. And you pray over your life right now.